Boy, the worship this morning that is in this sanctuary with all our voices and the choir and band is filling my heart. I've sensed the Holy Spirit here with us. God's presence is here. Thank the Lord. Friends and family in Christ, good morning. Good to be with you all again in worship this morning. How does it sound when I say this? You are what you love. You are what you love. Now, notice I didn't say you are what you eat, right? We know this, that, you know, the foods we take in can help us feel healthier, help us feel a certain way. You may not know this about me, but while I was in college, I was a distinguished waiter at the famed restaurant Pizza Hut. And at Pizza Hut, they gave you a perk. It was a perk of working there where you got a personal pan pizza every shift. And let me tell you, that pizza was soaked in some kind of oil overnight. There was loaded with cheese, meat, and I had this every shift, and let me tell you, after a while, I began to wonder, is this really the best thing to be eating every time I show up? It didn't make me feel that great. You know, the heart is kind of like that. The heart is going to hunger for something no matter what, and the heart is going to be guided in a certain direction to love something, and it's going to love that which is good and that which is godly, and it's going to love God, or the heart is going to be misguided in its love. And so, in a sense, you are and you become what you love. Now, the heart is the source of all inner life. It is the source of our thinking, our feeling, our volition, and it is like this factory, I think, of always producing love, always churning out some kind of love. And Jesus today in the scripture is going to lead us to this precious, tender heart of ours and say, and kind of hold it up to the light and say, what is in your heart? What will he find us loving? What will he find in our hearts as he holds these up? Let's stand again, and I apologize that this scripture is a little bit long, but I think we can handle it, and you all have been standing for a good amount of time, so if you need to sit, you're certainly welcome to. Mark 7, we're going to continue in the Mark and Gospel here. Now hear the word of the Lord. Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. Then he said to them, you have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever speaks evil of father or mother must surely die. But you say that if anyone tells father or mother whatever support you may have had for me is Corban, that is an offering to God, then you no longer permit doing anything for father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition that you have handed on. And you do many things like this. And then he called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, understand. There is nothing outside a person that going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. And then he left the crowd and entered the house, and his disciples asked him about the parable. He said to them, "Then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart but the stomach and goes out into the sewer?" Thus he declared all foods clean. And he said, "It is what comes out of a person that defiles. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All of these things come from within, and they defile a person." Gracious God, we thank you for your word, and Jesus, you are the living word. And so as we come to you, we pray, God, the words of my mouth, Lord, the meditation of all of our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, and that we would encounter you, Jesus Christ, our teacher, through the Holy Spirit. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a bit of just a few notes before we really focus in and talk about the heart here. You know, what's going on in this passage? There's a lot going on. The scribes and Pharisees, you know, they studied the law. They loved the law. They tried to uphold the law. But as time developed, they got into this way of their oral traditions and their interpretation of the law being equally authoritative with God's holy word. And sometimes, as we see, it superseded God's holy word. And they began to take on these customs and these ways of washing and washing hands and washing pots and vessels and all these things in order to keep clean from the outside. As the Jewish people began to rub shoulders against the Gentiles, they wanted to keep clean. They wanted to keep their identity, right? And so they were striving, looking for a way to keep clean. Now, you may wonder, what is washing of pots and hands and all of this have to really do with our lives, right? Well, I think the scribes and Pharisees were very much like us, very much like people today. You know, there's a quote from St. Augustine, who was a 5th century philosopher, theologian in our Reformed faith. He wrote in the Confessions, he said this about God: "God, you have made us for yourself, and our heart is restless until it rests in you." You see, I think what we see here in the Pharisees and scribes, that all people were made for a relationship with God, no matter what background, no matter where you're coming from. And until you bring your heart into submission to Jesus Christ, there's this besetting anxiety, there's this constant striving to be clean on the inside and to find satisfaction. But it's only through relationship with Jesus Christ where our hearts finally can rest. You know, we can never do enough in order to be righteous before God. We can never achieve enough to find satisfaction. And you know, it breaks my heart working with youth ministry over many years, but to know that high school students, you know, many times in high school, there's such a pressure to succeed, such a pressure to do well, to get into that college, to get that job that's going to get you the right income, and just constant movement of striving, right? Sometimes we think that it's our good moral efforts, it's our good ways of just, you know, doing enough that's going to sort of balance the scales at the end of our life. And really the reality is that God's word says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so there's nothing we can do, not enough we can do, to be righteous and holy before God. It is only by submitting our brokenness, submitting our hearts to Jesus Christ, where we say, "I can't do it. Jesus, I trust you and what you've done for me to now empower me to forgive me, to give me a new heart, a new way of life. So I think these Pharisees and scribes are not too far out from just what we experience. You know, ultimately, we can never do enough to put our hearts at rest. And you know, our hearts can be misguided. Our hearts can be moving in the wrong direction. And Jesus begins to point out this hypocrisy in them. You know, they're breaking the commandment of God. They're breaking the fifth commandment to honor your father and your mother all the days so that it may go well with you. And you know, what they were doing was this whole practice, this thing of Corban. And so it was just a misguided love. It was not loving and honoring God the way that they were called to do and be. So at, you know, everybody has bank accounts and investments and cars and all that. And they would say, you know, I'm going to dedicate all of my stuff to God at the end of my life. And while I live, I'm just going to enjoy it. But, you know, parents come and parents have needs that, as they age. And, you know, parents were coming and saying, you know, I need help with assisted living. I need resources. You're my child. Will you care for me? Mom and Dad, I'm sorry. I've dedicated everything to God, so I can't help you. I mean, what kind of, you know, parent, a child would really want to say that to their parents, right? But this was the attitude. This was the way the heart can be misguided. To just do the very least, to just get by, to just do enough that maybe I'm going to be righteous for that. So we hold back a little bit of our money because, well, this is enough, right? But our hearts aren't quite growing in God. What? How do you want me to live with my life? How can I honor you with my family and my finances and my serving at church? God, how can I give my whole heart to you? So Jesus is calling this out. He's calling out this hypocrisy in the Pharisees and scribes. And this is provocative of Jesus because Jesus is, he's reversing the flow. He's saying it's not everything you do on the outside. It's not what you keep up and everything you do right. It's about what first flows from your heart. This is the wellspring of life. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, church, for it is the wellspring of life. And you know, if we came to the end of this passage and we were just beset with these vices, right? Everything within the human heart that is so ugly. I mean, it's ugly, right? If we were left with that, boy, would we be in trouble. But it is through Jesus Christ. It is through his renewing work within us. It is through this new heart that he says, promised in Ezekiel, I will take out a heart of flesh and I will give them a new heart, a new spirit I will put in you. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. So in Jesus Christ, really, he gives us and he changes our hearts through the inner work of his Holy Spirit. He changes our hearts to be oriented toward him and guided toward loving and serving him. Where before Christ, it was guided over here in the wrong direction. As Christians now, we're guided in this direction. And it's the work of sanctification. It's the work of constant renewal and repentance and practicing those virtues of love, walking with Christ, that keeps our heart guided in this direction. Now, Jesus is going to list 12 of these vices, 12 of these ways of attitudes of our hearts that we need to guard ourselves from. We need to guard ourselves from. He says, first, in the sinful heart is bound in sexual immorality. And you know, when Jesus uses this word, he's talking about premarital, extramarital, unchaste, anything outside the bond of marriage between a man and a woman. And he says, you know, in Christ Jesus, he gives us a way of looking at the beauty of marriage, of knowing that God gives this gift of marriage, the beautiful companionship, the beautiful friendship, the beautiful ways of being together that can honor God. It's a beautiful gift. And if you're single, you know that there's satisfaction in being single, that you can live a life of companionship with your friends and purpose that God has called you to, and a holy life before God. And so this word is getting, Jesus is talking about, you know, in the Christian life, in this way, honor me with your bodies, honor me with your marriage. He talks about murder, or let's talk about theft first. Let's talk about the other vice, theft. You know, bound to take from what is not ours. So, you know, the sinful heart, we're prone to cut corners. We're prone to refuse to give to God, refuse to be generous with our resources. But Jesus says, no, the inner work of the Holy Spirit is going to give you this disposition to be generous, to find ways to grow in giving, find ways to grow in contentment. He talks about murder, taking the life of innocent life. And I'll just say personally that as I've lived my life, I have been heartbroken. I've been heartbroken over the way that we as a culture disregard life in the womb. And I believe that in Christ, he wants us to value life from the very earliest conception all to the grave. And you know, it doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your background is or where you're from. All life in Christ is valued, right? He wants us to value life. Adultery, again, violating the marriage covenant, breaking of the seventh commandment. You know, my heart breaks for stories that I hear of pastors, of leaders who abandon that marriage covenant, this holy covenant. And it's for just a pleasurable, quick moment. And so much is sacrificed. Jesus says, in me, I've given you a new heart, a heart that is self-controlled, a heart that is blessed to enjoy the spouse of your youth. Coveting, right? Desire for more than we have, more than we need. The violation of the 10th commandment. You know, in Los Angeles, it's hard. It's hard when you look around and you're seeing, you know, bright and shiny cars, and you're seeing where people live, and you're seeing, you know, all the success that can come. And you know, in Jesus Christ, there's this freedom that we have of just saying, God, thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for the car I own, you know. Thank you for the quirks in my house, Jesus. Thank you. I'm grateful for you, right? Wickedness he talks about. He talks about this scheming to do harm to others. But you know, in Christ Jesus, as his disciples, we have this wonderful new life opened to us to scheme and plot for good, right? To say, who am I going to invest my life in? How am I going to give my life away? You know, scheming and plotting for good. We should become these kinds of schemers and plotters in the Christian faith. How can we do good? Deceit, you know, taking advantage through craftiness. But in Christ, there's this disposition to truth, to honesty, to integrity. Licentiousness, you know, guard your heart. Guard your heart against casting off all restraint, the mindless consumption of the internet, or as I will sometimes joke with my kids, the Google web, right? Be careful what you are bound up in the Google web, okay? The ways that video games, even for adults, the ways of things we're taking in, pornography, all these things that are there in Christ Jesus, know that your heart is positioned to be satisfied and controlled in Christ alone. Slander, speech that tears down another. You know, as Christians, we seek to encourage, we seek to build up others. Pride, undue sense of self-importance, walking around with this sense of self-importance, but in Christ, saying, Christ, help me have your humility. Everything I have is a gift from you. You know, foolishness, the foolish heart is a lack of prudence or good judgment. It's not having wisdom, but in Christ, he gives us a wisdom from God. You see, in Jesus, he gives us a new way of life, and he gives us a new heart that is oriented toward loving him. And he tells us, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Guard it, keep it in that direction. Keep it in that direction, friends. How do we respond to Jesus' words here today? How do we respond? I think there's a couple things as I've been thinking on my heart. Number one is just that as a church, we would be in this constant daily flow of repentance before him. You know, none of us are above this list. We can't say, oh, it's all these people out there and it's these evil people. We have to say, Jesus, change my heart. Jesus, keep my heart in your direction. Right? So it's this constant daily repentance and humility of coming before him and just bringing our hearts before him and say, Jesus, I can't change this wild, wild heart on my own. I need you. And I think that's the first way that we respond is in repentance. And I think the second way we respond is by practicing these virtues of love daily, daily. Right? The more we practice something, the more that we are going to find it just naturally coming to us. Several of us went down to the beach yesterday, some of our young adults, and we went surfing down there. And, you know, it was great to see there was some laughter, not too many tears, but, you know, getting up on a surfboard for the first time is so very difficult. Almost never will you stand up right away. But the more that you do that, the more that you get into the water, the more that you stand up, the more it becomes intuitive to you. And the same is true of our loves. The more that we love that which is good, the more that we love and practice putting on virtues, the more that our heart is trained to move in that direction, right? This is the work of sanctification, as Colossians 3:12 through 14 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Daily, daily, the work of renewing our hearts is a repentance and it is a practice. And it is all centered in Jesus Christ. Because when we are pointed in Jesus' direction, we become like him. We become like what we love. Church family, let's embrace this. Let's, by grace, obey this and be. Can you imagine what kind of church that might be of a bunch of disciples living in this way? Can you imagine how Hollywood and our city would change for the Lord Jesus Christ? So, gracious God, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Lord, we know that God, your word at times is is hard. It stirs things within us. And so, Lord, may anything that I've said, God, anything, Lord, may we only hear your spirit. May we only hear your voice, Lord Jesus. And so, God, now as we come before you, would you even by your Holy Spirit prompt us, Lord, show us, God, maybe where our heart, where you are asking us, God, to repent, to move more in your direction. Lord, would you speak to us? And God, we know that it's only through you that you can help us practice this love, Lord. So help us this week, God, as your people. Help us practice this virtue of love, of compassion, of kindness, of humility. Help us put that on by and through your Holy Spirit, God. Lord, soak us in your grace to help us live this out, to help us be faithful. We pray all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.